WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. High-stakes talks in Saudi Arabia between the U.S. and Russia seem to have moved the two countries closer after years of strain. And Secretary of State Marco Rubio says they could lead to progress on ending the war in Ukraine.
Today is the first step of a long and difficult journey, but an important one. And President Trump is committed to bringing an end to this conflict.
More federal workers are reeling from termination notices with fears about their future. Would-be park ranger Catherine Brainerd.
The people that make those decisions, they don't know or care to realize the impact of those decisions that they're making and all the lives that they are affecting.
Cold as the nation's midsection in its grips, this woman at Chicago's O'Hare Airport.
And it was 77, and it is what, now minus 20? And that you cannot get an Uber without walking outside is crazy.
The cold will stretch as far south as Texas. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is scheduled to deliver his budget proposal from the state capitol in Madison at 7 p.m. tonight. During his State of the State address in recent weeks, Governor Evers declared 2025 as the year of the kid. He also noted some of his priorities for the biennial budget, which included increased spending on public schools and violence prevention. Governor Evers has expressed concerns about the status of federal funding, which could affect the budget. Wisconsin currently has a budget surplus of over $4 billion. The Wisconsin Department of Trade and Consumer Protection is encouraging high school juniors to apply for the Wisconsin Agriculture Youth Council. According to a press release, the agency is hoping to have 15 members in total, with at least one from each of the 9 council districts. The council is meant to help students interested in an agricultural career learn about the challenges facing the industry, sources of assistance, and increase awareness of agricultural policy development. Applications must be submitted by March 31st. The Ethiopian Community Development Council is looking for assistance from the community to help support relocated refugees in the region. According to organization officials, the Trump administration's recent federal funding freeze has left them without access to the money needed to support their vetted refugees in Barron, Marathon, Portage, and Wood counties. Officials are hoping to raise $100,000 to maintain current staffing levels and continue providing assistance for things like rent, utilities, and emergency needs. Rice Lake Area School District officials say they saw a slight decrease in student enrollments in September. According to district officials, 12 students are no longer part of the district as of their January count. The decrease is not a massive change in the total student population of over 2,000, but decreasing enrollment has commonly been cited as a driving factor for districts proposing operational referendums to meet their funding needs. The September count is the one included in the rolling 3-year averages to determine revenue limits. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Badgers host Illinois. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, it's Wisconsin against Illinois tonight at the Kohl Center in Madison. The Badgers now ranked 11th in the nation after beating Purdue. Greg Gard says his team is better now at managing the shot clock.
That's important. I think it just shows the growth of this team. They couldn't make that play in October or November. They weren't accustomed, I think, to playing together as comfortable as they are right now.
We've learned that Marcus Sedbury is the new general manager of the Badgers football program. Sedbury has served as assistant athletic director at Wisconsin the past 3 years. He'll handle the players' and coaches' contracts. Baseball, Brewers left-handed pitcher Nestor Cortez is at spring training in Arizona, trying to learn everyone's name in the clubhouse after 5 years with the Yankees.
Yeah, the names are going to be tough. Obviously, being, so many years in another organization, gold glove caliber defense, and as a pitcher, that's what you want, so I'm very excited for that.
That's Brewers pitcher Nestor Cortez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Today's weather forecast is brought to you by SureTight Construction, raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. There's no job too big or too small. Find them at SureTight.com.
Feeling very frigid today with high temperatures barely tapping the single digits. This means we'll be feeling sub-zero all day today with another cold weather advisory going into effect tonight, where wind chills will drop us back down to feeling about 30 below. Stay warm. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 5 below zero.
SureTight Construction has been raising the roof on quality and craftsmanship. Family owned and operated for over 30 years, they specialize in residential and commercial projects.
from siding and seamless gutters to asphalt, metal, and flat membrane roofs. Need a custom shed or garage? They have you covered. Visit SureTight.com today or call 715-720-0212. SureTight Construction, where your dreams become reality.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time on Overtime with Maggie Dunn, do we really need to know what's going on with avian flu? Also, should pardons of the January 6th rioters apply to murder plots and child porn charges? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, our chief engineer producer of the show. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, February 18th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison. Sunny skies, blue skies above, but boy, howdy, it is chilly out there, and not something to necessarily even joke around about. Some cold weather warnings are out for much of the state. I know people in northern and western parts of Wisconsin, many school districts today called off classes simply because, number one, of course, partly because, you know, cars and buses don't always start when it's 30 below zero. But I think more importantly, a lot of young kids are at bus stops and this sort of thing. And boy, you get down to 30 below, you're outside more than 10 or 15 minutes. You could freeze or get real serious frostbite. And so out of health concerns for kids, many school districts in northern and western Wisconsin closed schools for today. Those cool temperatures will continue on. Our meteorology service says many of those watches and warnings for cold temperatures last into tomorrow. But then things start to get a little better, maybe temperatures in the teens and mid-20s towards the end of the week, and might even break 40 degrees by the time we get to Sunday in some places. So that's good news, but if you have to be outside today, please prepare for it. Bundle up. If you're driving, as Mom says, make sure you got a full tank of gas. Your cell phone is charged. And be safe out there today. Also, it is election day, primary election day. Todd, cut it close getting into the studios today, but I wanted to go vote because I want to make sure that I could come on the air today and say I'd voted. And of course, I'm not going to lie to you and make it up. So I cut it a little close, but I got in. It literally took me, I don't even know if it was 5 minutes to get in there, get my ballot, vote, and get out. And I got my little sticker this time around. They have a new sticker this time. It says, every vote matters. So I have my voting sticker on today. I was voter number 134 in my ward on the near south side of Madison about half an hour ago. Back in the producer-engineer chair today. He's feeling better. We're glad to have him back. Of course, always enjoy Sam Davidson when he steps in, but nothing better to have Mr. Zommers back in the chair. Welcome back, Mr. Zommers. How are you feeling?
Thank you, Todd. Feeling a lot better. Really? I had a swollen throat over the weekend and lymph nodes on only the left side were swelling up really big, making it like painful to swallow. And I was like, I should probably see a doctor now that it's getting difficult to swallow. Yeah. But then today, after sleeping basically all day yesterday and a lot the days before, I feel much better. And most importantly, I am no longer contagious, so I'm good to be in the office.
That's what I'm very happy to hear. Well, no, I'm happy to hear you're better. My grandma Allball used to say, I think you were just done in.
You were just
done in and you needed some rest.
But now we're good.
Good for you. Glad to have you back again. Many thanks for Sam Davidson for stepping in, but great to have Zommers back in the chair. You have not voted yet today.
Correct. I'm going to after the show.
All right. Very good. And then Zomers, I'll be back a little bit later this evening as a big night tonight here on Civic Media. We're going to be covering the Wisconsin biennial budget message from the governor. Of course, he had his State of the State last month. This focuses on the biennial budget. Not only that, it only happens once every other year. So it's the biennial budget. We will cover that live along with Dan Schaefer is going to be along helping me. He's actually going to be at the Capitol a block away, giving us live reports from the state capitol and joining us here at the anchor desk a block away afterwards. So Dan Schaefer, founder of the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor, will be here tonight along with me. I think we also have current Democratic State Senator Kelda Royce, who is on the Joint Finance Committee. And we have former Republican State Senator Rob Coles from the Green Bay area. They're both going to be joining us amongst other guests. And I believe maybe the Lieutenant Governor as well, Sarah Rodriguez. So big lineup tonight. Looking forward to that. And then, of course, we will have continuing coverage tonight after the polls close at 8 p.m. We will be along with Wisconsin Decides 2025. Again, the big race across the state is for school superintendent. You have Brittany Kinzer, the Republican-backed candidate, challenging incumbent Democrat Jill Underley and also Democrat Jeff Wright. And so two of those three will go on to the April 1st general election. Also a big mayoral primary up in La Crosse. Our own Jimmy Cuska is following that race. And also in Mauston, for those that don't know, a smaller town or city, 10,000 plus or minus, maybe a little bit fewer than that. Anyway, just maybe 40 minutes north of Wisconsin Dells. And Mauston School District has gone to referendum at least twice, maybe three times. They're going back to referendum today to Mauston voters in Juneau County. And school officials, school board is saying if this one does not pass, they're going to have to consolidate and dissolve the current Mauston School District, which would be losing a lot of identity for the county seat in Juneau County. So we'll be watching that school referendum amongst many others. So invite you all along tonight. Should be a great day and evening here at Civic Media. Speaking of that, at 12:30, our very own Luke Mathers is going to be joining us here for a little Tuesday Tangents with Lukester. And I'm very excited in hour two, what's worse today, having to do with one of my huge loves of life, passionate about it, coffee. So tune in for that.
Certainly now, one of Todd's favorite things.
This today's What's Worse is perhaps the easiest What's Worse for me that we've ever had.
And I'm thinking we agree.
Probably. So we'll be on that as well. Big news day today, of course, just after we got off the air yesterday, that breaking news in Toronto as a Delta regional jet left the Minneapolis airport and flew to Toronto, had to downplay it would be a hard landing, better characterized, I think, as a crash. But miraculously, this plane, if you've seen the video, it looked like it just had a overtly hard landing. It appears the landing gear was out. Investigators are going to have to find out. There were reportedly 40-mile-an-hour winds, but this plane just crashes right into the runway and then flips over. Both the wings and the tail break off, but the fuselage remains intact. It started on fire. Fire crews got there and started dousing it right away with fire suppressant. And thanks to the fantastic crew and the passengers, every single person on that plane was able to walk away. There are a couple of people who at last check were still listed in critical condition, but so far, no fatalities. Absolutely miraculous.
Yeah, thank goodness, especially after some of the tragedies we've seen recently. It's obviously horrible to see a crash, but good to see that everybody is still around.
And I saw this morning, one of the passengers was being interviewed, and he said, they asked kind of what his big takeaway was on something like this. And he said for him, it was that we all became just one people. Nobody cared about who you voted for or what your skin color was or what religion you were. We were just all there to help each other get off that plane.
If only we could get that without having to go through a plane crash.
Yeah. I've talked about this program before. I mean, for a brief time after 9/11 in 2001, that was the sense across the entire United States of America. And it lasted, I don't know, a couple of months. But I mean, it's just, it's euphoric. And it proves that we are all capable of it. And then you have to ask yourself, including me, what prevents us from continuing that, to your point, Zomers, without tragedy.
Right. Right.
So anyway, thankfully, everybody on that plane got off safely. That's, of course, the big news story. More nonsense continues out of Washington. Many more people being laid off there. We may get into that a little bit later with Luke Mathers. But I want to start today in our news stories with something much closer to home and much more impactful. Story today in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Dan Bice. It was actually came out yesterday afternoon. Headline, an Elon Musk-backed group buys at least $670,000 of TV airtime to support Brad Schimmel. Story by Dan Bice says conservative Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel said just recently he was hoping conservative third-party groups would start buying up TV time in the state, quote, very soon. Ask and you shall receive, writes Bice. Now, this is tantamount. Remember when Trump was running the first time in 2016? Remember when he, in a news conference, he said, Russia, if you're listening, I'd check out Hillary's emails. You're telegraphing things. And this is how you get around the law, because it's illegal to solicit directly third party money like this. But you could be at a press conference and say things like, you know, well, I really hope that some third-party groups start, buying up ads very soon. That's telegraphing without technically breaking the law. So back to this article, Bice says, ask and you shall receive. Federal records show building America's future. Doesn't that sound nice? Building America's future. An Elon Musk-backed dark money group began buying TV time in Wisconsin on Monday. The ads are expected to be in support of conservative Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel, who is running against liberal Supreme Court candidate Susan Crawford in the high-stakes April 1st election. The conservative nonprofit has already purchased more than $670,000 of airtime for the next 2 weeks. Over $750,000 for 2 weeks on TV stations throughout the state, according to Federal Communication Commission. That includes $255,000 in the Milwaukee market, $136,000 in Madison, and $104,000 in Green Bay, plus lesser amounts in La Crosse and Wausau. Building America's Future commercials are scheduled to begin airing Thursday, and run through March 5th. The amount of the group's buy is expected to rise in upcoming days. Also purchasing airtime on Monday was Fair Court America, a super PAC largely funded by Republican mega donor Richard Uihlein. His wife, Elizabeth Uihlein, has already donated $650,000 to the state Republican Party, money that was transferred to Schimmel's campaign. Another loophole, for those that might not be familiar, how to get around, see, there are caps on how much an individual can contribute to a candidate. But it turns out an individual can contribute as much as you want to a party, and then that party can transfer that same money right into the candidate's coffers. See how that works? As the church lady said over the weekend of the 50th anniversary of SNL, well, isn't that convenient? Come on back. Talk more about Brad Schimmel. By the way, he supports the January 6th insurrectionists. We know that. It's the All Ball Show. We're back with Zomers on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 12 noon on a Tuesday, Election Day, February 18th, 2025. Remember, the polls are open across Wisconsin until 8 p.m., 8 o'clock tonight. So make sure to be a voter, as our friend Luke Mathers says, who's going to be on the show here just after the bottom of the hour break. Big race for state school superintendent. You have Jill Underley, the Democratic incumbent. Technically, it's a nonpartisan race, but supported by the Democratic Party. You have Jeff Wright, also a Democrat, endorsed and supported by teachers. And then you have Brittany Kinzer, who is the endorsed Republican in the race, private voucher person. So you have those three. Two of the three are going to get through tonight. We'll have coverage later on tonight here on Civic Media, along with Dan Schaefer and others. I'll be anchoring that, so join us a little bit later on tonight. Right now, talking about this story, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, written by Dan Bice, that Elon Musk is now playing in Wisconsin politics, and not just in a small way. $670. $670,000. Big difference there, Todd.
Quite a bit.
Partner, $750,000 that Elon Musk is putting into this Supreme Court race between Susan Crawford, the law and order candidate, and Brad Schimmel, the extremist who supports January 6th insurrectionists. So that's the difference of the race. And we've seen this now in Washington. And this is kind of how we can put what's happening in Washington and put it in a perspective that we can understand here in Wisconsin. Because a lot of people are saying, I don't understand these Republicans out there in D.C. They're not all idiots or schmucks. And why aren't these people speaking up? It's because, and also why aren't some of these people now we did see people resign from the Justice Department last week and into this week. Today, there were three or four Democratic deputy mayors in New York that resigned because they are not going to support this indicted Democratic mayor, Eric Adams, in New York. But a lot of people say, why aren't people having a bigger backbone? Well, a lot of it is Elon Musk is the richest person in the world. And he is threatening people and saying, I will use my money to come after you politically, legally, and personally if you cross me. That's what's going on. And now we're seeing it here, the chickens come home to roost in Wisconsin. Now, what does Elon Musk have to do with Wisconsin? Far as I know, he doesn't have a home here, doesn't pay taxes here. I know there are Tesla dealerships, but I don't think that any of his businesses are located in Wisconsin. But yet, he's spending almost $750,000 in television time to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. And it's not just Elon Musk. It's also the Ulines putting in $650,000 as well. At least they have some connection to Wisconsin. According to this article in this Journal Sentinel by Dan Bice, FCC records show that Elizabeth Uline has put in $200,000 worth of airtime between February 24th and March 10th in Milwaukee. Of that sum, $79,000 will be spent on WITI TV Channel 6, a Fox affiliate, and $49,375 on WTMJ Channel 4, an NBC affiliate. Fair Courts is also buying this pack, also buying time in Green Bay and Madison, but those numbers are not yet available. Susan Crawford spokesman Derek Honeyman, great name, by the way, Derek Honeyman says, quote, Musk is trying to buy off Brad Schimmel and take over the Wisconsin Supreme Court so that Schimmel can rubber stamp an extreme agenda of banning abortion and cozying up to corporations. The Schimmel campaign declined comment on the outside spending in the race. I bet they did. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, if you would like to weigh in on this. We've talked before in this program and a lot on campaign spending, Citizens United. But this is even taking it one step. It shows you how this can get out of control real fast. Because you have people that have virtually no connection, or perhaps in Musk's case, no connection to Wisconsin, and putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices. It's one thing to say, look, my voice is bigger than you because I raise more money. If you want to do the same thing, go raise more money. It's another thing, in my opinion, to say, I have so much money, I'm the richest person in the world. I mean, think about this. Think if you went down to your local county fair and you were going to go out to the racetrack. Some county fairs have demolition derbies or still have horse races or the grease pig contest or whatever. And you went to your local track at your county fair and you stood up on a soapbox and you screamed at the top of your lungs and you said, this is my opinion. And then somebody who disagreed with you came in with 10 jacked up 4x4s with amplifiers and speakers on the back, all playing the same song and went around that track. Do you think that your voice would be heard? That's essentially what's happening here, only this time it's our Supreme Court who's getting drowned out. Your voice. By the way, whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? Here's what they get out of this. Is when big decisions get made, such as we only just got the new fairer maps recently. Well, doesn't it behoove Trump and Musk to have that undone? Of course it does. Doesn't it behoove Trump and Musk to take away rights in Wisconsin that we already have? Of course it does. So it's going to affect us in Wisconsin if Musk and Schimmel win. And by the way, if you support law enforcement like I do, don't you want a judge who's going to stand up against insurrectionists? Because Brad Schimmel's on the record saying he won't. Susan Crawford is a law and order candidate. Let's be clear about that. Back with Luke Mathers on the other side. It's the Tom Allbell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We all know that there are a lot of things that can impact the markets day to day, but one of them is coming back, that being Chernobyl. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, And John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is here to explain how nearly 40 years after the disaster, Chernobyl is still having an impact on the wheat markets.
Yeah, the weather was a big factor. Obviously, this cold temperature is coming through, bringing some premium into that winter wheat market again. But at the same time, too, we just had an issue with the Chernobyl nuclear reactor facility, the one that fell apart or broke up in 1986. And they put a cap dome over top of it. And on Friday, it was said the Russians did it. Obviously, they're saying the Ukrainians did it. But somebody launched a drone attack that actually cracked that dome in terms of with a missile strike. No radiation or things were coming out, but I think it jumped some war premium into the market, which we haven't seen for a long time here.
As Heinberg was explaining, whether it be weather or nuclear reactors, there are a lot of things that can impact the markets. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those midday markets right after this.
Just stop and listen to these great details on our next farm tour. Hi, everybody. I'm PM Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th as we head to the Canadian Rockies, Vancouver, Victoria, as well as agricultural highlights. We'll start in Calgary and visit their expansive Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour and meet a Mountie. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Once we arrive in Vancouver, we'll enjoy award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery and also take a ferry to Vancouver Island for a stroll through Bouchard Gardens. We'll learn about farming life on the island during fascinating visits to a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword PAM to get a brochure or watch a travel show. Again, July 26th through August 4th, join me for our next tour of the Canadian Rockies.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and remember to follow along with us on all things agriculture by downloading our app, The Farm. You can download it at thefarmwi.com or by finding it on your app store. Now let's see what the markets are looking like midday on a Tuesday. Grain is pushing higher as cash corn is up 4 3/4 at 501, and new crop corn is up 3 1/4 at 476 1/4. Cash soybeans are up 2 3/4 at 1038 3/4, and new crop soybeans are up 4 at 1056. March wheat is up 5 at 605, with July wheat up 4 3/4 at 630. Milk is looking a little worse, though, as March Class 3 milk contracts is down 12 cents at 1958 100 weight, and April contracts are down 7 cents at 1915 100 weight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Feeling very frigid today with high temperatures barely tapping the single digits. This means we'll be feeling sub-zero all day today with another cold weather advisory going into effect tonight, where wind chills will drop us back down to feeling about 30 below. Stay warm. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 4 below.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Jane has jury duty, but I, Greg Bach, am your host, and we have Pat Kreitlow at 10:30 and Sean Rowland, who is a Milwaukee County supervisor, talking about why he ran for office. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Welcome
back to the Town Hall Mall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on Tuesday, February 18th, 2025. A renewed, a revigorated, a genetically improved Aaron Zomers on the board today. Glad to have him back after being off a couple of days. And that music on a Tuesday only means that someone else has returned to our airwaves, also looking refreshed, tanned, and genetically improved. Our very own Luke Mathers. It's time for another edition of Tuesday Tangents with Lukester. Luke, welcome back.
I mean, I don't know about genetically improved or tan, but I got some sun. It was very dangerous, Texas and New Mexican sun where I was. So
very, very intense, right?
It was. So anytime that we were in the beating sun, we had long sleeves and kind of, we were taking precautions.
You worked out and did a little national park tour, which is fantastic. I wish more people, including myself, would take advantage of our national parks because they are a treasure and institution.
Yeah. Anybody that has the opportunity to do so, I highly recommend it. Knocked off 4 more off of our list. We hope to see them all. And just an excellent time to be and place to be able to unwind and kind of disconnect and recharge. So well, very good. It's a lot of fun.
Glad to have you back. Now, you're working from home today. Is that are you taking care of the dogs, their paws? It's very, very cold out. People have to take care of themselves. Or is it just that you, instead of putting on a sweater, for those watching on the stream, you have 2 pups on either side. You're just cuddling with your dogs to keep warm.
No. They're in the other room. Aurora is a young pup, so this is one of her coldest days probably of her life still.
Oh, yeah.
And she does not care. So I have to be very important, like, to try to get her back inside after a certain amount of time outside because she's just laying out in the snow and enjoying it, but it's frigid. Remy, on the other hand, is like, he does his business is right back in the house.
All right, very good. Let's get a little bit of this more serious news of the day before we have some fun here, Luke. A couple of callers waiting. We'll get to you in just a minute. This story by Dan Bice came out yesterday afternoon in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and I think this is certainly disturbing to me, but I think it's helpful. We hear so much about what's going on in D.C. Elon Musk, the richest person in the world, using his wealth to intimidate people. And now here, the chickens have come home to roost in this story by Bice. So far, this Elon Musk-backed PAC, Political Action Committee, is spending $670,000 on TV airtime to support Brad Schimmel in the Supreme Court race.
Yeah, and put it in context for folks as well. Like, that to Elon Musk is pennies.
Sure, pizza money. Mm-hmm.
He's not even going to know. To him, yes. Right. Like, an exorbitant amount of money for any campaign to be able to spend in a 2-week period, outside interest or campaign itself, regardless. Like, it is a lot of money to spend. There's going to be a lot of ads, Wisconsinites, that were sick of these political ads all November. It's going to be more of those in the tune of almost, what, 2/3 of $1 million?
Yeah.
Go ahead. And for somebody to be able to drop that amount of money and it make no difference to them, but be able to influence and sway an election here in the state of Wisconsin, that's something that we got to talk about it more, because the richest man in the world coming in and trying to put his finger on the scale for how we determine who makes up our state Supreme Court is a really big deal. And it's important for Wisconsinites to be aware of where those ads are coming from and who's paying for them.
I agree with you. And I think, you know, we've talked to this show before. We've had callers call in. I certainly wish that we did not have the current campaign situation we did in terms of how much money basically unlimited could go into these campaigns. I wish that were different, but set that point aside for a second. You can at least make some, I shouldn't say you, but a general person could say, well, you know, a rich Wisconsinite has some vested interest in the game. And so, hey, they're putting money in. What really disturbs me is that Elon Musk, to my knowledge, has no residence here. He has no business based here. He has no interest here other than his larger political agenda to bring the Trump agenda, the Musk-Trump agenda of influence into our state, to your point, Luke. And he doesn't care a whit about any Wisconsinite here. This is all about absolute power and putting an amount of money that's nothing to him, but could mean a whole lot to people in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and it is It is very telling. Over the weekend, had the opportunity on Valentine's Day to go watch the new Captain America movie.
Oh.
And it made me think, kind of, if you had Elon Musk money, not necessarily Captain America, but the equating to a superhero would be Iron Man or Batman. Mm-hmm. You have these billionaires that go and they're vigilante crime fighters and they do good as superheroes. Elon Musk is that kind of, he's the richest man in the world. Mm-hmm. He could be going and saving people. There was a online thread a while back where somebody told Elon on Twitter, I think this was before he purchased it or shortly after he purchased Twitter, mm-hmm. that he could instead spend that money and be able to end world hunger. And Elon's like, prove it. Send me the numbers. I'll write the check. Prove it. And the person did. They worked for like, really? I forget if it was the World Health Organization or what international organization worked to solve hunger problems around the globe. And they presented like this plan. Hey, you put this much money, these dollars behind this organization, this entity, and you could end world hunger. And Elon was like, oh, that's cute, but I'm not going to do it. Like, right. He could be a hero, and instead he's choosing his time to get involved in politics at all levels, including seemingly now here in Wisconsin with our state Supreme Court race, and trying to tip the balance in a way that he believes, ultimately, when the chickens come home to roost, that it's going to be beneficial to him.
Right. And I think if people, I mean, tonight we're going to hear from Governor Evers reportedly on a new proposition to address PFAS in our drinking water in Wisconsin, to the new maps that we have now that the current Supreme Court has put on to make districts more competitive. We have women's health on the ballot in an indirect or direct way, however you want to look at it. I guess those are the things I think that Wisconsinites should decide and debate amongst ourselves. We should have those debates on both sides of viewpoints, but amongst Wisconsinites. And what really bothers me, to your point, is this dude that has no interest in it. I'm sure he probably hasn't even been here, but anyway. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Mark in Peredesac. Mark, thanks for holding on, my friend. What say you?
Yeah, I just, for Judge Schimmel there, I can't imagine the screaming that would be going on among the Republicans if George Soros was offering the same amount of money,
right,
you know, to back Judge Crawford. I mean, I have this image in my head of, there was a Simpsons episode where they were kind of back in Dixonian times where Principal Skinner was offering a Bart or some other of his little school chums for sale, mm-hmm. you know, boy for sale. I can just imagine Musk standing there, you know, holding Schimmel in his grubby little judge's robes, because you stain them from his corruption, and, mm-hmm. and saying, judge for sale, because that's kind of that's the image that just, you know, these guys are just corrupt to the core. I mean, mm-hmm. it is just sad, and Brad Schimmel, you know, cutting deals for his buddy, you know, Scott, as I said before, Scott Jensen, and reducing out three felonies to a misdemeanor when they got a change of venue for him, and yeah. Now the guy can make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year as a lobbyist, and Schimmel's probably taking money from the firms that Jensen has lobbied for and from Jensen yeah. himself.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Wisco Paul. Wisco, thanks for holding on. What say you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Todd. I, for one, don't want to go back to the Walker agenda. It's nice having fair maps. It proves democracy is working in this state. And I think Eli, with all his money, he just wants to scare the Republican Party more than they already are, mm-hmm. and put his finger on flipping the Supreme Court race here. You could correct me if I'm wrong about that. Citizens United is just an awful thing. And I just can't go back mm-hmm. to the Walker agenda. It's just too much. Anyway,
yeah.
Eli wants the power, I guess. Thanks.
Thank you, Wisco. Appreciate it. Luke, I want to get to this cut for a second, but first of all, quick take on Wisco's point there. I think he brings up a good one. I mean, I know a little something about this Schimmel guy. I don't want to tell the story again, but I had to face the guy in a federal court in a direct way, actually. He did Scott Walker's bidding, Schimmel did when he was attorney general, on suppression of voter suppression in Wisconsin. Now, Scott Walker is not, I mean, he has about as much intimidation, you know, as Elon Musk does in his hangnail on his big toe. I mean, Walker doesn't have the power that Musk does through finances. And so if Schimmel's going to kowtow to Walker, thinks what he's going to do if he owes his election to Musk.
Yeah, and we've seen just this on display, though, where there's kind of it's how Brad Schimmel originally got appointed to be a judge. It's kind of a insider baseball that if you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. Yeah. And so for a politician who was the former attorney general to then be appointed by the outgoing governor to be a judge and is now running and seemingly doing a little wink, wink, nod, nod aspect of, oh yeah, that outside money, I think it's the spigot's going to turn on soon. And then we see reporting that all of a sudden the spigots are on for outside spending in favor of Brad Schimmel or against Judge Susan Crawford. It's pretty obvious, but unfortunately we got to talk about it because for the sake of the way that we elect our highest court, it needs to be talked about more out in the open.
Wisco brought up this point of fear. And I want to play, if you didn't see it, go back and check out 60 Minutes from this weekend and other things going on. But Scott Pelley sat down and did a great piece on what's happening in Washington. And one of the people that he interviewed was a guy who was a Republican, a former administrator of USAID. And I know this is focusing on USAID, but there's a point here that Wisco brought up about fear and what Musk and Trump are doing in Washington. Here's this Pelley report from 60 Minutes on Sunday.
I think we're creating a system that violates the separation of powers and the checks and balances that are intended in the Constitution.
Republican Andrew Natsios, former head of USAID, spoke to us in Washington in part because he is not hearing public appeals to reason from fellow Republicans.
I am not a moderate Republican. I am a conservative Republican and a strict constructionist. The reason they're not saying anything, I think they're afraid. Musk has said that he would spend $100 million in primaries on anybody who opposed the president on anything. So I think there's a lot of fear in the city right now.
How do you view this moment in history?
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but it does appear we may be headed towards some sort of a constitutional crisis. I hope that doesn't happen. I pray it doesn't happen, but it's certainly concerning to me what's going on in the city right now.
Is the constitutional order breaking down?
We'll see if they refuse to enforce a court order by the Supreme Court. If it gets to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court rules against the administration on something and they refuse to enforce it, then we will have a constitutional crisis.
What happens then?
Well, I don't know.
No one knows.
No one knows.
Andrew Natsios, a Republican former administrator of USAID, on 60 Minutes this weekend. Luke Mathers, again, going back. This is somebody who knows Washington, D.C., and saying that Musk is threatening city members of Congress with $100 million in primary money if they don't do what he and Trump want.
Yeah, and I think we're already seeing that this isn't just a hollow threat. I think the first go-around of the Trump administration, there was a lot said, and you had to kind of parse through all of the different rhetoric. But now we're seeing that Elon Musk is willing here in the state of Wisconsin to put the private money into these races. And it's very telling that Wisconsin, with this first April 1st election, could be the test case to folks around the country. Yeah. Not just here in the state of Wisconsin, but around the country.
Agreed.
That Elon Musk is not kidding. He's willing to do it.
That's a great point, Luke. That is absolutely spot on. You're right. This is the, you know, I'm not messing around here. I mean business. And if you want to see it, look at Wisconsin. I think you're absolutely right about that. And I think this is a time for Wisconsinites to say, we're going to reclaim our voice in our own state and not let this happen.
Yeah, and it's very pertinent to be everybody that can go be a voter and make your voice heard. We've got the spring primary today, but April 1st, Tuesday, April 1st, is our general election here, and it's more important now than ever to vote.
We'll be back after this. Don't go anywhere. Luke Mathers and I talk a little fun. Well, that was fun too, but more fun on the other side on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Hey, it's family time at Chula Vista with the right kind of fun for everyone. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family. Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, a rejuvenating spa visit, relaxing at outdoor fire pits, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park and outdoors with cross-country skiing, sledding, and snowshoeing. Dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here, on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Discover Chula's Winter Wonderland. Miles of freshly groomed trails, skiing, sledding, snowshoeing. Check out bonus gift cards at ChulaVistaResort.com.
What's your go-to when the cold winds of winter blow? A heavy coat? A hat? For many of us, it's lip stuff, too. But did you know one of the most popular brands, Carmex, the one in the little yellow tube or tub, is a Wisconsin product? It's made in Franklin, a suburb of Milwaukee, and it's shipped to more than 60 countries every year. So can you guess the original use for Carmex? Fixing squeaky doors, actual lip balm, or to soften baseball gloves? The answer coming up. Alfred Woolwing created Carmex in the kitchen of his Dodge County home in Rubicon in 1937. He hand-poured thousands of jars until deciding to automate the manufacturing process in the 70s. Now, can you guess the original use for Carmex when it was created more than 80 years ago? It's always been meant to be a lip balm, but people use it on other dry or itchy skin areas too. It remains a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap.
I'm looking into my camera, my monitor, because Luke is joining us from home, and I see a bright light. I'm talking, I hear Luke's voice. I'm being drawn in. I feel lightheaded. I feel like I'm making a transition. I'm being taken into the warm, open arms of Luke. No, he has his window open. It's the light behind you, Luke. You look angelic.
Thank you. I don't have any blinds for this one, so it does complicate the setup from home sometimes. But if you're in the sun, it's nice and warm. If it weren't for that wind, it would be a gorgeous February day here in Wisconsin.
Right. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's sunny, but yeah, very cold. Bundle up out there. Many school districts in northern and western Wisconsin shut down today. Just simply too dangerous to have kids waiting outside the buses. And it looks like that cold weather will continue into tomorrow morning before maybe some 40s. Our meteorology team is saying by the weekend. Luke, you're always busy keeping your hands in the mix of all things Civic Media. A couple of big things happening tonight. Coverage begins tonight with the budget address. Tell folks about that.
Yeah, we're going to have coverage of both the budget address as well as, if you haven't already made a plan to be a voter, the polls close by 8 p.m., so you can go between now and 8. We're going to also bring live coverage of those election results along with coverage of the biennial state budget address. Not only is it going to be anchored by Mr. Todd Alba himself, but we're going to have contributions from Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, on the scene at the Capitol. Jimmy Koska, Civic Media News Bureau Chief, is going to be contributing for some of the election coverage as well. And we're going to have a tremendous slate of insight from current and former state legislators. So you're going to want to tune in. That coverage beginning at just before 7 o'clock this evening.
Sounds good. We'll stay on a little bit after that and then be bringing election night coverage. Wisconsin decides 2025 in this DPI race. As Luke likes to say, be a voter. I was number 134 in my ward today. Luke, did you vote beforehand or did you vote in today?
I'm going to head to the polls shortly here when my wife gets home from work. We're going to go together. We like to vote together and make sure that we're both able to cast our civic duty. So
they say the family that votes together stays together. So I don't know. I think that's what they say. I'm not so sure. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to the phone lines. Craig, listening via the app, I assume, in beautiful Chicago, the Windy City. Craig, thanks for calling in. What say you?
I'm a little bit, and I'm sorry about my voice. I'm a little sick, but I'm a little bit disappointed by everybody being so alarmed at how much money someone's going to spend. I can just tell you for me, when I look at a candidate or candidates, I look at experience, track record, and I won't consider somebody for state or federal office if they've never been in a lower level position to look at their accomplishments. Mm-hmm. I don't care how much money they spend.
Well,
I would only hope.
Go ahead, Craig.
That money thing is not overplayed by a voter being a little bit more involved in picking a candidate rather than responding to an ad.
I couldn't agree more. I really appreciate the call, Craig, and thanks for your listenership. I hope your voice feels better there. Luke, I agree. It sounds like Craig is a very informed voter. My issue is, you can speak for yourself, my issue is when so much exorbitant amounts of money, like Elon Musk putting in $750,000 in 2 weeks into Wisconsin, what it does is it muddies the water, to say the least, and it gives false impressions of to voters that might not take the time or is just sick of elections and doesn't, but they see this terrible ad against one candidate and just say, well, I guess I'm voting for the other person.
If political ads didn't work, you would not see a multi-billion dollar industry built around like these campaign ads every single election cycle. Mm-hmm. And so for some voters, yes, the ads that they see throughout the cycle aren't going to make a difference to them. But the elections are decided on the margins, especially here in the state of Wisconsin, and these political ads make a difference on those margins. And so I think it is very important to know. That's why we need to have transparency. It shouldn't just be some fluffy, special-sounding group that can put their name on these ads and then attack candidates or promote other candidates. It should be clear. And thankfully, we can still see through FCC reporting that who is behind this. But there's going to be a lot of instances where there's filing deadlines leading up to right before the election where there's going to be an onslaught of money spent. And you don't get to find out until after the election who paid for that. And that's not right for a democracy.
Not much time left, but also on a couple of our civic media stations tonight will not carry our special election campaign government coverage. They'll have Wisconsin men's basketball. The Fighting Illini will be at the Kohl Center tonight. Pregame show starts at 6:30, and then the tip-off, I believe, around 7:30 tonight in Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Racine, Kenosha, and Richland Center. Those stations will carry that game. You can also listen to it on the civic media app. Big game, Luke, for your alma mater.
Yeah, the Badgers looking really good. Midseason form is special. I think it's important basketball here in the month of February. And this game could have some implications for what's going to come for the Badgers in March. So definitely a big game. You want to stay tuned to the budget coverage as well with the budget address or election results. Right, yeah. It's just if you've got a smart speaker and a smartphone, have the Badger game going on in one and then the election special coverage this evening on the other.
Yeah, should be good. Don't allow a lot of time, but the Bucks all-star break, Dame got beat out by an 18-year-old kid in the three-point shooting. Like, the kid won $100,000 because he beat out Dame on a three-point shot.
If I was Dame, and it seemed like he was kind of playing around with him, but all the good Dame doesn't need the money. If the kid can make the shot, let the kid make the shot and be a winner.
I think what bothered me is after the kid made the shot, Dame just walked away. He didn't go shake his hand or like say congratulations. He acted like he was ticked off about it.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But it's all in good fun, I think. That's what All-Star
Weekend's
for.
Can the Bucks get this together, Luke?
I think so. I think they're going to be able to take care of some business.
All right, come on back. Thank you very much, Luke. We appreciate you. What's Worse is next on the Civic Media Radio Network involving coffee.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based comedian Jim Flanagan and veterans advocate and founder of Arizona Warriors, Jason Moon, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Secretary of State Marco Rubio led a U.S. delegation in talks with Russian officials in Saudi Arabia today. They agreed to find a way to end the war in Ukraine.
The goal of today's meeting was to follow up on the phone call the president had a week ago and begin to establish those lines of communication.
19 of the 21 passengers injured in yesterday's Delta Airlines crash in Toronto have been released from the hospital. Here's Toronto Pearson Airport CEO Deborah Flint.
We do expect that the investigators on site will be reviewing the aircraft on its current configuration on the runway for the next 48 hours.
It's not clear what caused the crash. Much of the country is stuck in the freezer again today. In Chicago, wind chills are dipping to 30 below. This man was surprised when he landed at O'Hare Airport.
It's 0 degrees here. We just came from New York and it was 32 and that felt warm.
Kentucky could get several inches of snow tonight, just days after the flooding that killed at least 14 people. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.